Mrs. Clark, I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Hey there. Happy 4th of July. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. Thanks so much for joining us on News Talk WSB. It is the 4th of July. What an amazing day. Love, love, love this day. So Sam and I have been celebrating, like everybody else, by cleaning out our house. I am not joking. We have been sitting for hours now in my office, and we're moving things around and throwing out files that are like 15 and 18 years old. Sam's like, you know, you just don't need these anymore. And the reason we're doing this is because Sam is moving his office from, many of you know, over the years, Sam and I have bought and sold investment real estate. Obviously, that's a good thing for us to do. And we own a condo that Sam has been using as his office, a one-bedroom condo for, I don't know, like 14 or 15 years now. And so he's finally moving out of it as his office, and we've rented it out August 1st. And so all that stuff has to go from the office somewhere else to our house and to Sam's new office, which is part of our office suites. And so there's just all this stuff to do and all this stuff to move. And so we've been, and some of it's pretty big and heavy. And, you know, when we moved in the last time, we were 15 years younger. And that just seemed more, you know, doable. And so this time our backs are a little creakier and we're a little more tired. And there's just, we have accumulated so much stuff. So anyway, we were taking a walk the other night in the beastly heat of like 100 degrees at 9 o'clock at night or whatever it was the other day, and talking about how we're going to actually manage to get all this stuff moved, and then in the house we have to move, and there's just a lot of moving going on. And I said, you know, Sam, you know, we could hire somebody. And usually the kids are around. Alex and Michael are now strong as oxes. They're like 6 feet tall plus, and I've reached the point in my life when we travel as a family, I don't actually have to carry anything, which is so great. It's, you know, we get on the plane and Alex with one hand like lifts my bag that would, like, I'd be struggling with, and it goes right into the overhead, no problem. But the boys are away this summer, and so they're not around to lift furniture and move boxes and do all these things that we would really like to have them do. And so I said to Sam, well, what about their friends? No, the friends are all gone for the summer as well. And I said, well, we could just hire somebody to help us, right? We could just, you know, it's a novel concept, and we're getting movers anyway, but we could just hire them to do other things for us. And Sam looked at me, and he said, Elise, that would cost real money. And I looked at him, and I thought, we are still so careful about every single dollar. We care more about our money. Sam cares more about our money than, you know, and it's than anybody I can think of. And I care so much about our money. And we both live our lives every day, even though we could easily afford to go hire somebody and spend a couple of thousand dollars to have somebody lift all this heavy stuff and move all this heavy stuff. The stuff we can move, we do ourselves. It's like the lawn. Sam bought himself a rider mower when we moved into this house almost 20 years ago. He's replaced it once, and we're still mowing our lawn and doing our own yard work. In fact, I've been schlepping around the hoses all over the garden because, you know, everything's, you know, dropping with the heat. And I'm thinking to myself, I said to him the other day, why don't we just finally put in a sprinkler system? And he goes, Elise, again, that would be real money. That could be like $10,000 for our yard. That's, you know, you could move the hoses around. It's not that big a deal. That kind of care and concern, and it was such a wake-up call for me also, because you have to care about every single dollar. And I was thinking about the shows that I did. I filled in for Mark Arum last week and on my own show, and people were calling in, and I could tell that we've stopped worrying about every dollar again. You know, when the Great Recession hit in 2007 and 2008 and 2009 and things were really horrible, everybody was thinking about every single dollar. And by and large, we've kind of moved through the worst of the worst, although I still feel like we're heading back into recession. Another conversation for a different hour. But, you know, the caring and concern that I have for every single dollar, and that Sam has exponentially for every single dollar that passes through our lives, both incoming and outgoing, is one of the reasons why, and a really big reason, that if we wanted to, we could hire anybody we wanted to. Like, we have the financial resources now. We have the options available to us because we care, and yet we still live our lives like the millionaires next door. We still drive 10-year-old cars, and we still are cautious about every dollar we spend, and we still think about it. It's a mentality. It's not quite depression era, right? We do spend money. We're thoughtful. We're mindful about our spending. And I've been getting the sense lately as I've been taking some of your calls. And by the way, lines are wide open. 4th of July, we're here live. We're here to help you. I'm here to answer your questions, 404-872-0750. So let me throw that out there right now. And if you've been waiting to call because the lines are always busy, they're wide open. So go for it. But I've been listening to our callers lately, and I think to myself, it's like we don't care as much. Like, we're not as worried. And the data, the credit data that's starting to come out for June is showing that, boy, the American consumer, 4th of July, rah, rah, we're, you know, no problem with the American consumer. We have less income, less job security. Our confidence is going down, but gosh darn it, the spending is going up. We're still spending like crazy. And I'm so worried that we're not thinking and being mindful about our dollars, because I do feel like we're not out of the woods yet. We are not out of the danger zone. Did you see the manufacturing number this week? It was dreadful. It had dropped like 5 points. Unemployment numbers, you know, people are leaving the world of employment, and that is why the unemployment number is going down. There's like 14 million people in this country who would like to have a job, or would like to have a full-time job, or would like to have a job that pays them better than minimum wage. And we are in a place where, you know, God bless, if you can go out and buy a Tiffany diamond bracelet or a Coach bag, not at the outlet store, you know, in full price and not have to think about it, terrific for you. But the vast majority of us, we need to think about it. And we need to be careful, and we need to do our homework. And I get the sense that we're not thinking that way anymore. And that's such a dangerous place. That takes me back to where we were in 2003 and 2004, and people were willy-nilly spending and going out, and, you know, life is different now. It really is. It may not feel this way, but wait till you get your energy bill at the end of a 100-plus degree everyday hot summer. We're not supposed to get in Chicago any rain for the next 10 days. It has been like a month. We've had half an inch of rain in a month or something insane. So best winter we've ever had in my life, and now we are in a hot, hot, hot summer, and I know my energy bill is going to be like $1,000 a month. And I worry about that, and I worry about it for you, because I care. I want it to be okay for you. I want you to have options. I want you to know that when you need that money, it's there for you. And so this idea that you're not being mindful about every dollar you spend because it's annoying, or it's hard, or it's tiresome, or it's boring, or, you know, you'd just rather go, like, zone out in front of an Andy Griffith rerun. That has to change. You have to do your homework. I can tell when you call in that you haven't even begun to think through it. And I can't help you to the best ability that I have if I have to start from the very beginning with you. And so when you are out there, it's not so simple. It's not like it used to be. Buy a house, mortgage it, sell it, no problem, anytime you want, good rates, credit didn't really matter so much. It's all different today. And so you have to be different today. And I'm worried that you're not. I'm scared for you that you're not, and I'm scared you're going to get stuck and in a situation that is really hard to get out of. So let's work on it together. It's July 4th. We're halfway through the year. Let's make it a better year. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 16 minutes past the hour this July 4th. Ann joins us on the line from Riverdale. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ellie.
How's it going today, Ann? Happy 4th.
And I just wanted to affirm what you're telling the folks, because I didn't watch every dollar. I was out there spending money, and now I'm retired recently, and now I have to watch every dollar. I luckily retired from a job with it paying me a pretty good pension, and I'm able to make my bills. But I just left the Kroger store. I was having to buy the 99-cent chicken. You know, I'm buying the manager special bakery items. And I would like, now that I'm free, I'd like to go on a vacation, but I don't have the money. But I'm volunteering. I'm really enjoying my retirement. Don't get me wrong, but I just wanted to affirm what you're telling everybody.
Let's go back. What did you used to spend your money on when you were earning money and it was coming in? What did you do with that money?
Hey, you've heard of cruise junkies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Really? How many did you go on?
Oh, only 6, but, you know.
Only.
That and then just travel. And, you know, me, if I had a little money together, me and the dog are in the car and we're going somewhere.
Right.
So that and just whatever, you know, just spending. I'm just coming home from work. I'm stopping at the store and buy some stuff. You know, and get
not that kind of mindful. It's sort of mindless rather than mindful.
Too much on the shoes. And, you know, just not mindful. And now, but I'm really enjoying beginning to be mindful. And the thing about what's so funny about it is I was always been a Clark fanatic. I've got one of his earliest books signed, you know.
Uh-huh.
I could quote you chapter and verse on what Clark would say about this, that, or the other thing, but I wasn't putting those ideas into practice.
So what was it about that? Because I know people listen to me and they listen to Clark, and so here you are. You can quote him chapter and verse. You know what you're supposed to do, and yet you weren't doing it. What do you think that was about?
Discipline. Because I look around at my coworkers and that were disciplined, and now they own rental property, and they're, you know, ready to retire big time, and as soon as they leave, they're going to be living the good life, you know.
Right.
And me, not so much, although to me it's the good life because I'm not working anymore, but I'm doing what I love to do by volunteering and in the field that I'm interested in.
But that's you would like to have...
I think I was working at something that I detested so much that I was constantly running away from it. I think that's where my problem was, you know, and so I'd like to encourage people. I know right now is not a good time to put this idea forth because right now people are doing whatever they can do to make ends meet. But I'm saying when the opportunity rolls around, you know, and we have cyclical, you know, internet someday, when you do have the ability and the time and the opportunity to do what you love to do, do that, you know. I stuck at a job that I just...
But it paid. It gave you a pension. It did things for you. And, you know, your life isn't over yet. You're entering a new chapter, Ann. And what I see for you is with this new mindfulness, you're volunteering, but there may be an opportunity to pick up some part-time work out of your volunteerism that will give you the opportunity to do some of that travel that you love. Because mindful spending doesn't mean you have to deny yourself forever. So I want you, your special job, right, is going to be to watch for the opportunities to combine what you love to do, which is your volunteerism in your retirement, with the other thing that you really love to do, which is to go out and experience new things, new travel with your dog, with friends, at a reduced price and opportunity. And my sense of it is that there will be plenty of opportunities for both. So I'm congratulating you on getting your head out of the sand and understanding that there's a different way to live. And I'm so grateful that you called in, because what you've shared today will change thousands of lives. I'm Elise Glink. We are talking about money and real estate today on the Clark Howard Show. Glad you could join us. 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
WSB, with the most traffic reports every afternoon and the most traffic every morning. In your car, depend on News Talk WSB every day.
If you can use some exotic booze.
Happy 4th, everybody. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining me here today on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750. Hey, if you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation because I tweet out phone numbers, I tweet out web things, web addresses, I tweet out other kinds of links to stories that you're going to want to see, and I do it all during the commercial breaks because why take a few minutes off when I could be providing you with more information? So, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K on Twitter, and you can also sign up for the free weekly newsletter at my website, thinkglink.com. Patty joins us on the line. Hey, Patty.
Hi, Lise. How are you?
I'm good. Happy 4th.
Yes, same to you. Happy Independence Day.
Thank you. What's going on?
Well, you were talking about moving, about you and your husband debating as to how you're going to move and not hiring someone to move for you, even though you have the financial means. My daughter's boss definitely has financial means to move, hire movers. However, he asked the gentleman who worked for him to help him move. And they thought, sure, but it's not their normal work day. They don't work. So several of them, of course, one gentleman has to take MARTA. Another gentleman has to drive, I guess, about 40 miles into work to where this man lives to help him move, load up. They had a lot of stuff. I guess it took them like 10 hours that day, if not more. When it was all over, they just kind of like stood around and, okay. And he said, okay, thank you very much. Really appreciate your help.
And that was it? He didn't like pull out his wallet and hand them $100 bills?
No, he did not buy them anything to eat. My daughter ran down to 2T to go buy them Gatorade.
Oh, my gosh. That is just obnoxious.
It is.
It's outrageous. I mean, they could file a lawsuit against him.
Well, you know, fortunately, nobody got hurt or anything like that. But my daughter felt really bad for them. Her fiancé did help Ellie because she volunteered him. So she didn't think it was really a big deal. Would have been nice for him to get a few.
No, it is. No, Patty, it is a big deal. Taking advantage of employees is so far out of the boundaries that I can even possibly understand. I mean, I have talked about I hire my people to do other things. I pay them like even more than I pay them in regular time because I feel like they're doing this that's outside of the box. But for him to take such financial advantage of these people, it's outrageous. And any boss who's in that position who does it, shame on you, because these people work for you, feel like their livelihoods depend on it. Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Your daughter should think seriously about finding a different job. 404-872-0750. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 35 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. Happy 4th of July. You know, if you are anywhere near Marietta Square today, you should join News Talk WSB for an all-day holiday celebration. Free concerts, arts and crafts, food, carnival games, and the Superior Plumbing Fireworks Finale, 10 p.m. at Marietta Square. All that info is up at WSBradio.com. So we've been talking about money and talking about moving as Sam and I are preparing to move him out of his office in downtown Chicago up to a different office near where we live. And we're moving all this kind of stuff, and I was relaying this conversation we had while taking a walk in the beastly heat, saying, hey, Sam, why don't we just hire somebody to help? And his response to me was, Elise, that would be real money. I mean, we are hiring movers because there's furniture and things that we just simply can't do. But for all the boxes and the things that we can do on our own, Sam has always had the belief, and as I have, but he even more than me. I used to joke that I'm actually married to a guy who's more like Clark Howard than Clark. But Sam believes that if you can do something yourself and save money while doing it, you're a fool not to. And truly, if you add up all of the money we have saved in the 20-plus years we've lived in this house, it's definitely six figures. We might even be at about $150,000 saved. All those little dollars and cents add up. You know, we don't spend $200 a month in the summer, you know, doing the yard. We do it ourselves, or $300. We don't spend, you know, money on, you know, I we're not bringing takeout in every night, for example. You know, all these things that I talk about, you know, I cook from scratch. We put a dinner on the table with the boys six nights a week. Seventh night, you know, either we're invited out or I, you know, we do go out once in a while. Maybe once a month we'll go out to dinner, once, twice a month, I don't know, for just family stuff, or we'll go to my mother's. But, you know, these little things, these dollars and cents, give you so many options, I think, down the line. And when I add it all up and I think about the money we've saved by driving 10- and 12-year-old cars and not, you know, hiring people to do every little last thing for us, but figuring it out on our own, there's a huge sense of satisfaction, a huge sense that we are saving serious money. I mean, $150,000 plus in our bank accounts over 20 years simply because we do all of this stuff ourselves. Mark joins us on the line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I get a little bit frustrated with Clark Howard and you sometimes because I think we can be penny wise and pound foolish in this world. And I have a question for you before I go into my tirade. Would you rather, you know, die or retire with more money than you could possibly spend in your lifetime or your kid's lifetime, or would you rather have a good quality of life?
I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive.
And I agree with you.
I live a very high quality life, but I don't make it a high quality, expensive life.
Exactly.
So,
nor do I.
And so I don't think you have to choose. There are some people who have to choose. Some people seriously cannot go eat out at dinner, you know, eat out six nights a week. They can't afford it. They shouldn't be spending it. And they have to make the really tough choices. I have the financial ability now. I could eat out every night of the week, but I hate it. I really don't like to do that. I would much rather have a salad and sit around my dining room table with my kids and my husband and our friends than go out. In fact, I would rather spend more money than my share would be to go to a restaurant with our friends because I think it's more comfortable and I enjoy it more. So I don't think it's penny wise and pound foolish.
Now, I can agree with you that you could, but that wasn't the question specifically. Which would you rather have?
I don't think you have
only
to choose
between one and the other. You only have a choice of one or the other.
But I don't have a choice. You're defining.
Okay.
You're defining
That's
my
fine.
Choice.
Then let me move on then, since you don't want to answer that question. Okay.
I've answered it.
You answered it by saying you don't need to choose.
That's right, because the choice is a false choice.
That's fine. Okay. So, like I said, I don't want to be, because that's not even the point I'm trying to make.
Well, what's the point?
Okay, exactly. So, let me just back up a little bit since you're on Clark Howard's show. It's something that was the first time I really said, wow, there's some people who have a real addiction to money. Now, this is back probably 18 years ago when he was first starting his show. It was talking about listening to 15 minutes worth of advertisements so he can get a 5-minute free phone call. And I'm like thinking to myself, okay, so even back then, that was about, you know, 20 cents a minute, you know, so 5 minutes. So really? You know what I'm saying? You're going to listen to 15
minutes? Right, but
minutes?
Clark, okay, so I understand where you're going. Clark
okay.
believes time has no value. That is one of the principal tenets of his life, is that time has no value. I don't believe that.
Good.
I believe there's nothing more valuable than time. Clark and I are so similar in so many ways, but there's like three things that we completely differ on, and you have hit on one of the very big ones.
Yeah.
But
so let me go to you specifically then.
Sure.
Okay? You were talking about, you know, moving your furniture and cutting your yard and things of that nature. Now, this applies, and all this stems back to when I moved to St. Louis to go to college. I took a job in the house of a elderly, which I thought was a pensioner that needed somebody who just needed to had a large, you know, property. Her husband had died in a well-to-do area. It was too much house for her to handle. And I moved in as a handyman because I'm a very handy guy. And this lady was just absolutely crazy. I mean, like, she washed paper plates.
Okay, people are recession or depression era babies, have a whole
exactly.
different mindset. That is a specific response that many, many psychologists have jumped in and actually done huge research on. It's a specific response to nearly starving in your life. If you look at Holocaust victims, many of them have very similar tics that they've developed as a response, survival response mechanism. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say that Sam and I would rather be mindful of what we're spending, where Sam, if he could do it himself, would rather do it. He gets tremendous joy out of that. But more to the point of what you first said, people are addicted to money. Clark lives his life in a very peculiar way, but it brings Clark tremendous joy, and that's why his radio has been so successful over the years, because he shares those tips that make him joyful on saving money. He's got, you know, there's other little things about Clark that are just hilarious, but this is such a great truth of his life, and it comes through in every single radio broadcast that he has. For us, I'm a little bit more in the middle. I would rather definitely have a great quality of life, but I watch our pennies and our nickels and our dimes, because I think that if you don't care about your money and you don't really take a stand and watch over that money, care for that money, make the most that you can of that money, then you deserve not to have the options. You deserve not to be able to do what you want later in life. I don't believe that you have to be penny wise and pound foolish. You know, you don't have to make these false choices. What you have to do is every time you reach in your wallet to get out money or a credit card or a checkbook, to think carefully and say, do I need to do this today or can I wait? Delayed gratification is one of the principal driving beliefs of my financial life. And I have thought and challenged myself over the years, do I really need this today? And you know what? 95% of the time, the answer is no. You don't need this today. I don't need this today. You can wait. And every time you wait, every new car you don't buy for another 3 or 4 or 5 years, and if you can wait 10 years to buy your new cars, you'll have an extra $200,000 in the bank at the end of your life. And to go back to your original comment, Mark, which was, would you rather die rich or die broke? Which is really what you're asking. The answer is, if I knew what day in my life I was going to die, I'd plan for it all to be spent with a chunk handed down to Alex and Michael. But I don't know what day I'm going to die in this world, and you don't know what day you're going to die. And so all of us have to plan for the idea that we just don't know. You save and you be mindful and you invest and you're careful because you don't know if you're going to get hit by a train tomorrow or if you're going to live to be 105. And I hope you live to be 105. And I hope when you get there, you still have $5 in your pocket. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Cameron joins us on the line from Roswell. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, Willis. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on? Happy 4th.
You too. I'm looking to refinance my house. And I talked to basically people about applying to the HARP, which I qualify for. But I'm having a hard time trying to succeed, I guess, in refinancing because I have PMI on my mortgage.
Let's back up a minute. So sure. Where are you in your life? What's your interest rate? What kind of a house did you buy? Give me a little bit more context.
Basically, just a little townhome. Got in 2007, and it was...
So height of the market.
Exactly, and we kind of moved quick, getting into something, you know, didn't look into it the way we probably should have, and got an interest only for 10 years, and then, you know, then it converts to where we actually start building some equity, I guess, at that point.
All right, so you've got a couple more years to go at what was probably a pretty low interest rate. What was your interest only rate, about 5.5?
Now it's like 6 and... I think it's like 6.6 something.
Wow. Okay, so 6.675, and you've built zero equity, which means you're underwater, but you qualify for HARP, so that's good.
Yeah.
And you've got an 80-20 mortgage, right?
I believe so.
So that was 100% financing?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so what's the problem now? You're worried about what?
Well, I'm just trying to... I don't have, you know, I've never missed payment or anything like that. It's just, you know, I don't want to stay in the house, you know, terribly, you know, maybe 4 or 5 more years if I need to, but I'd like to just be able to set myself up where I'm building equity in the house.
Sure. Well, if you go with HARP, there is no option for you not to build equity, right?
Sure.
You're going to have to start paying principal and interest. You may even pay a little bit more than what you're paying now all in. You can always dump equity into the house to start to get back to or closer to where you are that's even. And I would recommend that, actually. I think you should throw every dollar you can, because if you want to be out of there in 5 years, there's no guarantee that that price is going to come back up to where it was when you bought it.
Sure.
So the only way to get there is by dumping equity in or planning to walk away from the house. And I would not advise you to walk away from the house.
Yeah, I mean, there's, and that's the thing. There's not a need, you know, so it's not like an immediate, there's not a need. I just want to be able to set myself up to where when the time comes, I have a little more, you know.
Well, how much underwater are you right now?
I don't think all that much. Probably, I'd say maybe 15%, you know, not huge, huge, but.
That's great. No, that's actually really great news, because it won't be, if you get a 30-year refi, what you can do is play around with the numbers on a different amortization schedule, and you can make it, let's say, a 15-year loan. Two or three extra payments a year are going to get you pretty close to where you want to be, so that in 5 years you've paid down that extra 15%, and hopefully prices have risen a little bit by that point.
Right.
You just have to tighten your belt and make sure that this becomes a priority.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for it not to, but if you want to make three extra payments a year, and it's, let's say, $1,000 a month, so you know you have an extra, you know, $250 a month that you have to now pour into your mortgage. And that's exactly how you should do it. It's not any more complicated than that. So do the HARP refinance, get through with it, make sure you're getting the very best deal you can with it, and then whatever number they give you for a 30-year plan, you're just going to make three extra payments a year and divide that out so that you know that you can get to where you need to be. And so by the time you get there in 5 years, you'll have paid down the extra 15%. Hopefully prices have risen, and you're going to be good to go.
Right. And on the PMI thing, that's what, you know, when I talk to a refinance company or whatever the case may be, it seems like the PMI prevents me from even being able to refinance, however.
I'm not sure why that is. I mean, if you qualify for HARP, you qualify for HARP. So
yeah.
Is it really a PMI issue, or is it a second mortgage issue?
No, I don't have a second mortgage, and that's the thing. They, you know, basically, I talked to two different people, and they basically said, "Oh, you have PMI, then we can't even do anything." So I don't know if it's their inexperience with the HARP, maybe, or if it was something that is just the way that's configured.
So have you talked to makinghomeaffordable.gov? Have you gone to that website and called the Homeowners for Hope hotline with the HUD-certified housing counselors yet?
Yeah, I went. That's where I started.
And they said you cannot qualify.
Well, they weren't real sure, and then after I talked to a couple of refinance people, I called, you know, I kind of did a follow-up with the lady I spoke with through the HARP program, and she was like, yeah, we've kind of found that to be the case. And she suggested, I haven't done this yet, but she suggested I actually know who my PMI company is and to call them and see if they work with anybody in particular to make that happen. So.
I think that's a good idea, but I would call back to the Homeowners for Hope hotline. That's the 888-995, you know, H-O-P-E. I would call back and try to speak to a supervisor.
Okay.
You should never get somebody who says, I don't really know, but you should do this, this, and this. At Homeowners for Hope Hotline, you should actually find people who know what they're doing. The other place you could call would be NeighborWorks, and also Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta has housing counselors that definitely know what's going on. I mean, because they're local, it's credibility.com. It's the old Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta. I would call them. But you should never be getting a, well, I don't know. That shouldn't be. After 5 years of this program, you shouldn't get that answer. So go follow up in those ways. But let's say you don't qualify. The answer is start prepaying like crazy now so that in 5 years you can go when you want to go. 51 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenn. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
WSB with the most traffic reports every afternoon and the most traffic every morning. In your car, depend on News Talk WSB every day.
We're talking money, we're talking houses, we're talking real estate, we're talking life choices, all of this on today's Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark, our number 404-872-0750. Join the conversation online on Twitter, at Glink, where I'm tweeting out all kinds of things, and I want to hear your responses. ThinkLink.com, we are all live today on July 4th all over the ThinkLink community. Gloria joins us on the phone. Hey, Gloria, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Elise. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Sure.
I'm calling about the very high cost of taking care of a lawn. And I just
especially in the heat when it's 106.
Exactly. And I'm almost 70. And I mean, I heard you say, you know, you should do everything you can yourself. And I do have a pool, and I do actually take very good care of the pool. And I only pay for opening it and closing it, and all the rest I do myself.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm real proud of that. In fact, somebody looked at it and said they never saw a pool in such great condition, and it's 20 years old, so
nice.
I'm very proud. And it's fiberglass, and that makes it easier, too. But the lawn, it's just awful. It's like sucking money out of my account. A couple of years ago, I don't think I was watering enough, and so I think I began to see some decrease in, you know, density. I have zoysia grass, but I've been trying to make up for it, and recently I had to pay somebody, you know, to come and do it, which I used to do a couple of years ago, pay somebody to take care of it. So I'm just stymied by it, and I cannot really run a lawnmower. I'm very clumsy, and you just killed me.
Listen, Gloria.
You know what I mean? I don't know what to do.
Well, you're 70 years old. I don't think you should save money, so you should drop dead of a heart attack while mowing your lawn, honey.
That's right.
I mean, that's not what I'm talking about here.
No, of course not. I mean, I couldn't do it even if you told me to.
That's right. What you need, you know, if your lawn is costing you too much money, you can replace part of it with plants that don't require as much work. But ultimately, you live in the South, right? It's the South. People expect there to be lawns. And when you go to sell your house, somebody's going to want to have a lawn. So for you, this may be a cost that you have to spend, and you tighten your belt in another place. Try to do as much as you can with watering. Have somebody else mow the lawn. The fact that you're caring for your pool at age 70, you go, girl. That's what I'm talking about. So you have someone help you on one side, and you do it yourself on the other. That's a great balance. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be back with a whole nother hour, so stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour of this 4th of July. I'm Elise Glink. So glad you could join me here today. Filling in for Clark Howard. We're having so much fun. We've been talking about money, and we've been talking about real estate and moving and all of the different things. It's such a cathartic thing for me. I have been throwing out files. I mean, it's fun because I get lost in it. It's like, oh, look what I was doing back in 1998. I don't need all this stuff, and you don't need all of this stuff either. And throwing it away, boy, it's just, I got into the whole swing of it. I really resist this kind of stuff. I resist, like, the idea when the kids were little and, like, all the toys would get mixed up and the games would all be in different places and Sam would be like, oh, this closet's a disaster. And he would have the patience to pull out, like, the marble bag that was mixed with all the toy cars and mixed with all the pieces from Monopoly, and he would separate everything and put the games all back together. I would just be like, let's just throw that out and for $5 go buy a new Monopoly game. But no, theme of the show, Sam's like, no, you know, we're not doing that. It's $5. I'm going to sit here while, you know, we watch TV and you're going to play with the kids and I'm just going to do this and it makes me feel good. And that kind of mindfulness is what we've been talking about today on the show, being very cautious where you can be instead of careless with your money. And the balance that we found for us, for Sam and for me, this balance of mindful spending, appreciating where our money comes in and how it goes out, being careful and thoughtful, it has given us so many options. I mean, college is all paid off for the boys, and they're not even there yet. This knowing that we don't have to worry about that anymore, knowing that we are secure in our retirement, in any choices that we want to make, is a huge relief. And we have earned that in our 23 years of marriage as of August 20th. We've earned it because we have been so careful with every single dollar we've spent over these 23 years, 25 if you count from the day I met him. And that's that kind of mindfulness is what I have tried so hard to impart to you, and what I worry so much about those of you who are still stuck in this Great Recession, who don't have loads of dollars to throw away, who are maybe making choices that aren't the right kinds of choices. And we don't know what's coming down the line. My gut tells me we're not out of this yet. We haven't been officially in a recession since June of 2009. Does anybody really feel like they're that much better off? I do think a segment of the population is, right? Maybe the top 15-20% of earners in this country are doing better, but that leaves like 80% of us who are not doing better. 80% for whom every dollar matters. Whether when gas prices go back up over $4 a gallon, it's a real pain, a literal pain in the wallet. People who worry about losing their health care insurance because it means that they're now going to have to pay out of pocket, or it just becomes prohibitively expensive. I talk about this all the time, but you know, Sam and I are kind of caught with health insurance. We've been paying on our plan, you know, and the plan grows. We now have like issues, right? We have a little back issue. It excludes you at the moment from all kinds of coverage. We can't even get new policies. Sam cannot get a new health insurance policy, and he's basically a very healthy guy. It's not like he, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have something wrong with his brain. He has a herniated disc, and because of that, no insurance company wants to touch him, or if they do, there are pages and pages of exclusion for any back-related issue whatsoever. Well, I've got news for you, health insurance companies. Spines are related to the rest of the body. You can't just sort of say, okay, anything that touches the back of the spine, legs, you know, arms, whatever, we're not covering it, because that's basically everything. And so we got trapped in health insurance with our health insurance, and now we pay nearly $20,000 a year for our policy. You know, every dollar we save somewhere else, it has a place to go, just like with you. And when I hear people calling the show who aren't mindful and don't care, who aren't thinking about it, it just makes me crazy. I get so frustrated. I want you to understand that the old way of doing things just does not exist right now. I hope we go back to it one day when we can all just be carefree and it's like 2002 and everybody's spending like crazy and home values are going up. That is the definition of a bubble. And when I was throwing out all these papers today, I came across something from 2005, notes that I had made on a housing bubble and what was happening from the Fed, people I'd been talking to. They were worried about it in 2004 and 2005 before housing bubble even became part of the lexicon in this country. And we could have it again. We could get there again. And if we do, and who knows what form it'll take, I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. Because we've seen what happens when you're not ready. And you know what? It isn't pretty. It's scary, and it's shocking, and it's devastating. Lives have been ruined, and I don't want that happening. Our number, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Jan joins us on the line from Kennesaw. Hi, Jan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What's going on in your world today?
Well, not much. Elise, I did write to you a couple of times regarding a problem I have with a suit to partition of my home. I own this home jointly with, I owned it with a friend of mine who passed away intestate, and his family has filed a suit to partition. And I'm kind of between the proverbial rock and a hard place because I don't know what to do right now. I don't have an appraisal on the home. They were supposed to get one, and they don't communicate with me. And the point is, I don't know whether I should buy them out at this point, because they do say they did file the suit. And if I do not buy them out, they will auction the home. And I want to know if they have a right to do that, as I am still half owner.
Do you have an attorney, Jan? Because I remember your letter, and I believe we answered it.
Yes, you did. I have a regular attorney now. I have honestly called 5 real estate attorneys and written to them, and not one of them has gotten back to me.
Okay, I don't understand who you're talking to. Have you called the Atlanta Bar Association or the Georgia Bar Association?
I've called both.
And did you talk to the head of the real estate committee?
No, because no one would. They told me that I had to provide a fee. You know, I had to pay for them to provide a name.
That's ridiculous. It's a free service. I don't know who you talk to, but that's not true.
It is a free service.
Then why do you have to pay somebody?
I don't know. They told me that I had to pay them $35 if I wanted a referral.
That's from the Atlanta Bar Association or the Georgia Bar?
I think it was Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is not what I have heard. So here's what I'd like you to do instead.
Okay.
Just call the Atlanta Bar Association, the general number, and ask them who is the head of the real estate committee.
Okay.
I don't know who it is this year. It used to be my good friend Ricky Novak. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it is now.
It's an election year this year.
it's always something. But mm-hmm. The real estate committee, go get the name of that lawyer and call that lawyer and tell them that you are looking for a lawyer to help you with a partition suit. And I'm pretty sure I recommended this in my answer to you.
And I think you did, too.
So did you do this?
Well, I called and I wasn't getting anywhere. As I said, whoever I spoke with said that I had to provide a $35 fee.
Okay, well, that's, I don't know what that is. That's insane.
Okay.
So now you're just going to go follow the directions specifically, ask for the head of the real estate committee, mm-hmm. call that person, tell them what you are looking for and what you need, and you need a couple of names so you can go interview them. You will have to pay an attorney to represent you,
mm-hmm.
but that's how you do it.
Okay.
And don't go to the referral service. Just go directly, and this is what I recommend all the time anyway,
mm-hmm.
Which is go to the head. If you were looking for an estate attorney, I would say go to the head of the estate committee.
Right.
If you were looking for taxes, I would say go to the head of the tax committee. These people are responsible for the education of real estate attorneys and helping them keep their license in compliance. So
right.
They know everybody, and they know what the latest, greatest knowledge is. That's who you go and you talk to, and then you start the ball rolling from there. And hopefully this time you'll have better luck. 404-872-0750. Jean joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Jean.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, my question is kind of like the person that called about real estate. And happy Fourth Day. I'm retired, and I have to watch every penny I spend. I refinanced my house at 5 3/8 last year due to HARP without an appraisal. But since then, I owe about what my house is devalued. It's gone down about $40,000. So I do carry a line of credit in it, which is frozen. You know, I can't do anything with it except pay it off. And I called my lender and my credit union, and they both told me that I'd have to pay $400 to start the ball rolling and then $500 for an appraisal fee, and they couldn't guarantee anything because of my debt ratio. So I was wondering, have you heard of any kind of program? Because my point is I want to go 30 years.
But all right, Jean, let me stop you. You said you've already refinanced with HARP.
Yes.
You don't get a second bite at that apple, I don't think.
Well, I understand that. But I was wondering, I do pay my mortgage every month. That's the first thing I pay. But I am in debt on credit card about $20,000. Now I am trying to pay that off. But, you know, it's very difficult on a retired income. And I did work a part-time job, but due to medical problems, I was unable to continue doing that. I am helping. I have lost weight, and I do exercise. And
all of that is great, but I'm trying to understand where you're stuck.
Is there another plan available where I might apply other than HARP? Other than the regular route.
If you have zero equity in your house, the answer is no.
Yeah, about zero.
If you have a zero equity, the answer is no. You would need 5 or 10% equity in the house, and then you may be able to refinance, but then the private mortgage insurance, the PMI, probably would make it not worthwhile.
Okay. Well, the person at the credit union recommended that I put money into the house. He said, save it for a rainy day, because I've been trying to save maybe, I'm not talking about a lot of money, but maybe, you know, $20 or $30 every
He's
month.
He's absolutely right. You need money in the bank much more than you need to pay down your equity.
Oh, okay.
Because you can always walk away from this house.
Uh-huh.
You can always walk away from the house, you know, and virtually just have no cash, but if you needed to, you could walk away. But if you don't have any cash in the bank,
right,
it's going to be very hard to move forward. So I think you've gotten really good advice. I can't really add to that.
Okay.
Other than to say that if you know you're still having trouble making your payments, or the payments you wish the payments could be lower.
I'm cutting it close every month. Let's just say that I'm cutting it close, very close on money. I mean, I'm making it, but it's very difficult to find part-time jobs where I live, because the employment area where what part I live in, Metro Atlanta, is running around 10%. So it's very hard, and they look at you and. I have applied places, but they look at you, and if they have a choice of hiring someone younger, unfortunately, they do, and that's just the way it is.
Well, Jean, you have to hold on and hold the faith that you're healthy now, which is great, and you've lost weight, and you're in good shape, you're exercising. There may be an opportunity. Look for opportunities to volunteer that might turn into a paying part-time thing. Look at other kinds of little part-time opportunities. But unfortunately, the question that you really need the help on, which is there some other thing that I can do here? The answer is no. And I would not spend $400 to get the ball rolling and $500 for an appraisal, because I can tell you that without any equity, you're not going to get a chance to refinance again. Now, maybe in another couple of years, you'll get another chance with another HARP program, but not anytime soon, I'm afraid. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
WSB, with the most traffic reports every afternoon and the most traffic every morning. In your car, depend on News Talk WSB every day.
25 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. Tweeting online, had a great response to my tweets about Gloria, who called earlier, who's 70 and taking care of her own pool, and talking about the difference between money and quality of life, how that's interconnected, and what it means for you with your real estate. So follow me online at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K on Twitter. 25 minutes past the hour, let's go back to the phones. Mike joins us on the line from McDonough. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Happy 4th. What's going on today?
Okay. I'm an older guy. I'm retired and 65 years old. But what I've been doing is trying to pay off credit cards and reduce our debt at every turn.
Great.
So, just so that we'd be just in a better position just for anything coming up. Anyway, the last year I did a VA streamline and got the loan at 3.875. And so I was wondering, is there anything else that I could do with that, or is that probably about as low as I'm going to be able to?
On a 30-year on a 30-year fixed rate loan, you got 3.875?
Yeah.
Baby,
yeah.
You're done with that.
Okay.
I know it's getting lower, and this week, again, interest rates fell, but a 30-year rate would have to get to like 3.25% or 3%, and it literally physically can't. You know why? Because there's this thing called margin, which is profit to the banks. So Fed's rate is at like nearly zero, and there's a 2.75% margin or 3% margin on top of it, and hence you get 3.875%. Like, we've just about reached the end. Unless banks are going to start, the Fed is going to start paying banks, right?
Okay.
To get to a negative Fed rate, there's nothing that's going to go on here. But I can hear in your voice, Mike, that you've got some real concerns about this debt that you're carrying.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure that I stay ahead of anything that, you know, might come up.
Because it's scary to think about what might happen if it doesn't, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt real good about getting that loan because I got it with no points.
Awesome.
So
it's probably scary being 95 and thinking I'm not going to pay off this, or you're 65, not paying off this loan until you're 95. But at least it's virtually like no interest. But I'm here to tell you, Mike, that as scary as it is that you're 65 and you've got credit card debt, at least you're coming on top of it. At least you are recognizing it and you're paying down that debt a dollar at a time. Focus on getting rid of the credit card debt. The mortgage stuff will take care of itself. It will seem like nothing once you've gotten that credit card debt. Do whatever you have to do to get that debt paid off as quickly as possible, because the load off your mind is going to make you sleep like you're 5 and not like you're 65. I promise. 404-872-0750, 28 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Five minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark. I've been tweeting about our last caller, 65 with credit card debt. It breaks my heart every single time. There are so many baby boomers, millions of baby boomers, who haven't met a debt they didn't like, sick in their 60s, signing up for 30-year mortgages. And I know you have to do what you have to do so that you can afford to live with a reduced income or a fixed income. But man, it is the theme of this show, the choices that we make, that you need to make every single day, so that that isn't you, so that you have more freedom, more flexibility to do what you really love, to volunteer or to take care of animals or to travel or whatever it is that is your joy and your passion on this planet. I just want you to be able to take advantage of it. And I'm so frustrated when you don't get to a place where you don't have the foresight to look ahead, the discipline to make it into a game so that it becomes fun, and you watch the dollars pile up and it just becomes something that you do every single day. And it just breaks my heart when you get somebody who's 65 with credit card debt and already has a great mortgage and just worrying about where that next dollar is going to come from and how fast he can pay down his debt. John joins us on the line from Roswell. Hi, John.
Hi, Lise.
Hey, happy 4th of July.
Thank you, and happy birthday to our great country's independence. Thanks.
Absolutely.
For taking my call. I'll try to give you a brief synopsis, as you are a financial guru and your lesser half is an attorney. My child bride and I are both comfortably retired / retarded. Two grown children, both quite prosperous.
Great.
Small mortgage debt. We have properties and assets, both domestically and internationally, into the seven-digit figure. And I've been trying to find what I need for an estate planner and or CFP or both, to handle both the assets and the properties.
Mm-hmm.
And I need tips as to where to start. I've searched the internet high and low.
So let me see if I understand. You know, from the 50,000 foot level, you're doing amazingly well financially, which is fantastic. Your kids sound like they're successful in their own rights, which is every parent's dream, to have children who are out there and productive in this world and self-sufficient. And so now But you can't figure out. You're stuck. You can't figure out how to find somebody to manage the transition for you?
Well, what I'm looking at is, once again, from the 50,000 foot view, we're both in our mid-60s, and I want one throat to choke to handle...
Okay, so do you have, all right, so let's see what you have. Do you have wills?
Yes.
Trusts?
No.
Do you, okay, so I would imagine that you need at least an estate attorney to start, create a trust and title the properties into the trust at least. Are you going to sell these international properties before before too long, or are you going to keep them?
No, they're quasi-permanent. We've got a house and a few apartments in Italy.
Okay. Wow, in Italy. That sounds nice. So what you need is somebody who's got some international expertise.
Yes.
And because I have no idea, zero, what the estate and tax implications are for property in Italy, my guess is going to be that you need somebody here who knows U.S. law, inside and out, and how U.S. law treats property outside the country, but you're also going to need to deal with Italian authorities or wherever else these properties are.
Yes,
my best suggestion to you.
Shoot.
Call the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents. It's the website is 4GAEA.org.
Is that for you are?
F like 4 like the number 1 2 3.
Okay.
4GAEA.org. Enrolled agents are licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. And I've had many of them on my shows over the years. There are CPAs who are also excellent, and you should probably look at some different CPAs with personal finance expertise. And there are I'll look for that website and try and tweet it out a little bit later. You want somebody who understands this sort of the trick for you is the international stuff.
Yes.
And then putting stuff into titling into trusts so that it passes down in exactly the way that you want it to be passed down. And that's not so radical, so I'm kind of surprised you're stuck. You've managed to accumulate all these assets, and you've done it, I guess, on your own more or less because you don't actually have these people in place. So there are excellent people in Atlanta who can help you with this. I've given you some resources. In terms of, I just want to dig in one place, John, because sometimes really successful parents never have conversations with money with their equally successful children. Have you and your spouse started to have conversations with your kids about what you have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, neither one of them, they're too busy at the present time. The oldest is, you know, 30-odd, and the younger's around 30. And neither one of them have time enough to deal with the international stuff that I deal with or my child bride deals with over in Italy. So they don't appear to have a tremendous amount of interest in the house or the apartments over there.
But you may have to encourage that a little bit. So a lot of times, John, our children are busy. You know, I'm in my mid-40s, right? And Sam's now, my better half, actually, is now 51. And so, you know, we are so busy with kids and our business and growing and changing. And yet my mother finds time to drag me, you know, a couple of times a year to her financial planner. And he's a registered investment advisor, so that we can go through everything. So I know exactly where she is, what the trusts are. These are responsibilities that children have back to their parents. And you need to engage them a little bit. My sense of it is that, you know, you might be a little bit hands-off about it, waiting for them to come. But something could happen to you, and I want to make sure that everything is in order for you, so that they can step right in. But also I want you to give them the opportunity to learn what you have done, because it seems to me that you have put so much of your life's work into these properties and into building it and enjoying it and having something as special as properties in Italy, of all places. I mean, why Italy? I mean, that must have been a place for you and your child bride where you have found great joy over the years. And to be able to share that with your children now, when they're old enough to understand and appreciate it, and young enough to start to pick up the and understand the responsibilities associated with that kind of wealth, you would be doing them such a huge favor, John. I mean, even if it means all of you picking up and hauling over to Italy for a week so that you can show them what you have and they can understand the responsibilities that go along with that, it's such a massive, fabulous gift that you can give them in terms of sparking their lifelong interest in building for the future and taking it for what will hopefully be a third generation, your grandchildren, if they don't already exist. Someday, hopefully, they will. So that's kind of what I'm trying to dig at. You know, I've given you the tools to go find the people, but what you really need to do is engage with your children so that you feel very comfortable that when the time comes for you to stop and your wife to stop, they're ready to pick it up. 404-872-0750. Roger joins us on the line. Hey, Roger.
Elise, it's really good to talk to you. I've been listening to you all this afternoon.
Oh, glad to be here. What's going on in your world?
Well, you know, I kind of wanted to make a comment. I got a question. The comment initially would be quality of life is so difficult to really determine. I mean, financially, you've got people that are going to be unhappy regardless of their financial situation. And then you've got people who are going to be happy regardless of their financial situation. So it's really hard to really pin down.
It is so hard to pin. You are exactly right. It's very hard to pin it down. And things that add to my quality of life, like working in my garden or, you know, making, like, throwing out all. I felt like today I had a really great quality of life, though it was the 4th. It's a holiday. I'm working like a dog. I'm throwing out old stuff. I'm making room. I'm working hard. I feel like I have a very high quality of life today. I have the privilege of sitting in Clark's shoes. I get to talk to people like you. Some people would look at my life and say, does she ever just sit and smell the roses?
But, well, we're about the same age. I've got a family of four. But with the recent economic downturn, I took a cut. About a half of my base income was cut in half with the downturn, and I picked up some debt with credit cards. And I kind of wanted to ask the listeners or ask you, what would be the average of personal income debt with like a credit card situation? Because I've got about $10,000. Just wondering if that's average or not.
So the typical family, according to the latest numbers that I saw, the typical American family has that carries credit card debt has something like $7,500 to $7,800 in credit card debt. So you're above the typical amount, but you've had a really tough time of it. You know, you have probably not just been charging up things. You've probably been paying for necessities of life with that credit card.
It varies, but you know, it's just, I'm happy, I've got a job, I'm working, so my quality of life is there. It's just, when you look around, you see people that aren't working, and they want to work, or people that have a job that's not really paying them anything. You know, I'm very happy.
Well, I'm happy that you are satisfied, but I think, you know, the question I have for you is, what are you doing to get that $10,000 paid down? Are you stuck? Or are you just working at it?
Just working at it.
Okay.
So I just kind of wanted to touch base and find out if that seemed to be the average situation with people or not.
Yeah, it's come down a little bit. You know, the experts call it deleveraging, right, when people deleverage debt. But what really is happening is, yes, some people are paying down their debt, like you are, but a lot of people have gone bankrupt and discharged debt, and that's also deleveraging. So it's a little bit hard to know who's paying it down and who's, you know, discharging it, and so the average drops because of that. But I can tell you at $10,000, you know, you want to get that paid down. I'd really rather see you with little, you know, obviously no credit card debt or for sure less than $5,000. And if you want to improve your credit score, you've got to get the credit utilization ratio down. That's the difference between sort of what your maximum available to charge and what your actually your balance is. So if you can charge $10,000 and you've got a $10,000 balance, you are hurting your credit history and credit score. If you have a utilization factor, you know, of 25% or less, so you could charge $10,000, you're only charging $2,500, you have a balance of $2,500. That's better for your credit score, and nothing is the very best of all. It's 48 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Tom joins us on the line from Decatur. Hey, Tom. Tom, you with us? Oh, I just lost Tom. All right. 404-872-0750. It's 49 minutes past the hour. I want to point out that we are at Marietta Square today. Well, I'm not. I'm in the studio. But News Talk WSB is at Marietta Square today for an all-day holiday celebration. So they already had the race, but there's free live concerts all day, an arts and crafts show, there's amazing food, there's carnival games, and tonight at 10 o'clock, this is my all-time favorite thing, Superior Plumbing is putting on the fireworks finale. I love fireworks. I just think they are the coolest things ever. All of that is going on at historic Marietta Square today in honor of the 4th of July. We've got tons of holiday info up at WSBRadio.com, so be sure to check the website there to find out all the details about what's going on in Marietta Square and everywhere else in Metro Atlanta. All right, we're going to take a short break. Our number 404-872-0750. We have a few more minutes to take your calls. And says you should stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
WSB, with the most traffic reports every afternoon and the most traffic every morning. In your car, depend on News Talk WSB every day.
How glad the many millions of Annabelles and Lillians.
54 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. I've been sitting in for Clark today. It's a load of fun. You know, every Sunday at 11, I have a show. I've been on the show. We've been doing it, I don't know, 12, 13 years. I've kind of lost count. But anyway, every Sunday morning at 11 until 1 o'clock, I'm on the air here at WSB talking about money and real estate. And I want you to join me this Sunday morning. We have so much fun, and there's just such great information, great questions. We do a recap of the economic news of the week. It really gets you ready for what's going on the week ahead. And then on Monday the 9th, I'm going to be filling in for Clark again. Delighted to be here. So Sunday and Monday, I'll be here hanging out with you, just answering questions and doing what I can to get your real estate and your money all lined up. And in between, you can follow me on Twitter, because we've been tweeting again, and also on my website, thinkglink.com. Let's go back to the phone. Scott joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was married just this past fall, and my wife and I were lucky enough to have brought properties to the relationship together.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're also fortunate enough to have made a really good deal on a foreclosure home without having to have sold the previous property. It's a great time to buy. If we don't have to sell, it's not such a great time to sell. So we feel fortunate enough in that.
That is all good.
Yeah, definitely. Well, my question is that on our two properties that we both have rented out now, so that's something I always wanted to do, we have mortgages interest rates that are not so great on those existing properties. We got a great interest rate on the new foreclosure. Do you have any suggestions?
Let me jump in and say, why didn't you guys refinance when you were both still living in your own properties?
Because
interest rates last fall were pretty darn low.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the best planning at that time.
Planning, always a good thing. All right, so now these properties are rented out, and what interest rates are they carrying?
5.75 on one of them and 5.5 on the other.
Okay, this is going to come as somewhat of a shock because I know I talk about how mortgage interest rates are at historic lows. And by the way, they fell again this week.
Mm-hmm.
But for investment properties, you're not doing so badly.
Okay.
Now, what kind of equity do you have in those properties? Do you have like 30?
Yeah, we were also fortunate enough not to be underwater on those properties, but we're probably at about break even.
So break even on investment properties isn't so easy. So you could, if the properties are Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you could investigate to see whether Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, there are any programs that you would qualify for. But you can get loan modifications for investment properties, but not home affordable refinance. I believe that's for owner occupied only. So.
Right.
Unless your bank is willing to simply lower the interest rate on those, and, yeah, hey, it's always worth asking.
They want to see usually an 80-20 loan-to-value.
At least. Sometimes it's even 30% for investment properties. So the bad news is you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what we've been anticipating, but it's worth a shot.
I just have to say, if you had just called me, like last, you know, July, a year ago, I would have said to you, before you guys get married, before you buy this whatever property you're doing, you're still in your own properties, you still qualify, refinance down to the lowest rate ever, which at that time would have been like around 3.5%, 4%.
That's right.
Even 4.5%. So just a little bit of planning would have gotten you that little extra bit that you're looking for. But honestly, the difference is not that great. And, you know, without having, you know, significant equity in the property, you guys might not have even gotten much below 5%. So I don't think you're that far over market for what you have. Sure, it would be great to be lower, but the penalty you're paying is not so bad.
I appreciate your insight. Thank you very much.
All right, Scott. Good luck, and I hope you have as happy a marriage as I've had with Sam. That would really be something. 58 minutes past the hour. Our time is up today. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'll be back on Sunday morning at 11, and I expect to see you bright and early, or at least awake. 11 o'clock, cup of coffee. Hang out with me on News Talk WSB. Have a very, very happy 4th of July, everybody, and enjoy the fireworks.
So set them up, Joe. I got a little story